1 Samuel 17, we're going to, by the grace of God, look at David and Goliath today. Maybe in a little way we've never seen some of the things before. What a story, though. I mean, here we are, and it doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on in this world, whether you're red or blue or green or whatever. You got to admit, this world's a crazy place. Amen. And if you look outside these walls very long, you'll find that there are a lot of giants out there. Amen. And a lot of giants come along in life. And I don't know if you ever seen that movie, Facing the Giants, but that's an amazing movie. It really was. That's probably my favorite movie. I mean, ain't nothing Hollywood puts out worth a dime, but that there is an amazing movie. It's got a lot of good Bible principle, good stuff. But we do all face giants. And some of them are expected, some of them not expected. Some of them are unavoidable. Amen. But David had a choice whether or not to face that giant. He made a choice to go ahead and do it. So here we are in the Philistines against the army of Israel, and Saul being the leader, and Saul being out of God's will, of course, that he had his own ideas, didn't want to follow God in the past, and God's power just wasn't on him. So he's afraid of this giant. This giant's calling out Israel, saying, look, you know, send me a man, and I'll whoop him. I can take care of him, any of them. Your best, give me your best. And actually, Saul probably at one time was their best. Head and shoulders above the rest, big man. God had picked him when he was little in his own sight, and God had blessed him. And that right there is the key to walking a Christian walk, being little in your own sight. But here he is calling out the army of Israel, calling out for the best they've got, wanting the man, and David is about ready to go take care of this business. But I'm going to begin in verse 15, 1 Samuel 17, verse 15. Now, David had just been with Saul. Another occasion, another circumstance. It says, but David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David, his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousand, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to divide Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to this man, to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another, and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him, thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, but thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in his shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near to David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistines arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. I want to look at a few things as we look at this story today, maybe shine a little bit of different light on here about David's victory. The first thing I want to see in 17 and 18, it says, and Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah, this parched corn, and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousands, and look how thy brother fare, and take their oath. I want to see the father. The father had given David an order. He had given David a commandment, and David obeyed the father. Now, what David did might not seem like a big thing, but it was obedience. And the reason David ended up where he ended up when the battle with the Philistine was because of obedience. And it started with his obedience to his father. But we can see a picture, a type here of God the Father and us and our obedience to him leading us to victory. Now, David was victorious down the road because of his obedience now. And that's what God expects from us. He expects obedience now. He expects obedience into what we would consider little things. But they're not little things to God. Obedience is a big thing. Matter of fact, we look at this story and we see Saul shaking in his boots because he had lacked obedience, and now the power of God had left Saul. And he's allowing this shepherd boy to fight a battle that he should have been able to fight. But we see the father, and then we see the foe. In 19 through 23, it talks about the Philistine and how large he is. Now, you got to remember that Saul was head and shoulders above those men of Israel, and he was a big man. And he is looking up to Goliath, 9 to 10 foot tall at least, amen? As we really don't understand cubits, 18 inches, 23 inches, you know, whatever. He was a lot bigger than Saul. And Saul is shaking in his shoes. And here is this big foe, and David is not afraid of the foe. We see the father, and we see David's obedience. We see the foe. We see the fearful. Look at 24 and 25. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have ye seen this man that has come up?" I mean, here we are looking at people that have been in battle over and over again. People that knew how to fight, people that have seen great victories, people that have been led by the Lord into great battles and great victories, and they're fearful of this giant. And if we're not careful, and if we're not prayerful, we can become fearful of things we should not be fearful of. You know, when God looked down at that giant, he didn't see this feared thing. He didn't see this man that was unstoppable. He didn't see this situation that was unrepairable. He didn't see any of that stuff. You know what he's seen? He's seen potential victory for one of his people. Amen. I'm excited because I see victories down the road. I'm not sure what they all are, but I know one of them. I'm going to heaven one day because of Jesus Christ. I'm saved, I'm sealed, I'm sanctified, set apart for a purpose, and he's coming back to get me. But there are other victories he has for us. The father, the foe, the fearful. Look at verse 32. We'll jump over to verse 32. We'll see the fearless. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." David said, "It's just another battle to me." You know why? Because he had been obedient in the previous battles. He had been obedient in other circumstances. He had been obedient in what man would say were the small things. And when it come to this big opposition, he wasn't worried. Most saved folks in 2020 are worried about everything that's going on all the time because they're not obedient and they're not in God's will all the time. They're not taking each step regarding what God has for them and trying to be in God's will and asking for God's favor and asking for God's power and asking for God's direction and God's protection and His guidance. And we get fearful over things we should not be fearful for. There is no reason the army of Israel should have been fearful about this one giant. First of all, their man, Saul, when God was on him, was undefeatable. Amen. And if God's on you, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If God's on you, you are undefeatable. We are undefeatable. I'm not talking about this name it, claim it, prosperity junk. I'm talking about real spiritual battle. A lot of people are out on the side of the road, off in the ditch somewhere, will never return to the battle because they were not obedient in the things that should have been simple, everyday things. And then when a battle comes along that they could take and they could have victory in, they end up losing the battle. You can't go into these battles out of God's will. But David was fearless. And then we see not only David's fearless, let's look at the fashioning. Look at verse 38. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail, and David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them." And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The fashioning of the soldier. Now, this is interesting to me because Saul is afraid to go to battle, but he's more than willing to put his armor on David and send him into battle. He's more than willing to stand there and say, "Here's a kid that has no idea what battle's about in my mind, but I'm willing to put my armor on him and send him out to fight the giant that I'm not even willing to fight." That's interesting to me. But you know what else is interesting? Saul was looking at the outward appearance of David and making two decisions. This kid can't win this battle, and this kid needs my armor. You know what that armor was? It was a picture of the works of man. You know who made that armor? There were smiths. Not Joseph Smith or any of those, or Emmett Smith, right? There were smiths. There were men that would beat that metal out and make that armor, and they would take that sword and they would beat that sword down, they'd wet that edge, they would harden that thing, they would make this battle gear, and that's what we're looking at. We're looking at Saul arming him with man's gear. And see, what David didn't need was man's armor. See, it wasn't the outside that was going to make David victorious. It was the armor he had on the inside. It was the helmet of salvation, knowing that the Lord would deliver him. It was the protection that he had around his heart from God's armor, that he knew he could go forward and be victorious. That's why he was able to lay man's armor down and say, look, I can't count on this. Amen. I have to count on what God is doing on the inside. And look, if you're here today and you're trusting in your own works to get you to heaven, you need to lay that armor down. Amen. Because the works of man's hand cannot pay your debt. All of our righteousness are as filthy rags. There is none righteous, no, not one. Jesus Christ came and died for you because you couldn't pay your own debt. Jesus Christ came and died for me because I couldn't pay my own debt. Jesus Christ died for me, sent the Holy Spirit, His Spirit, into me to save me and seal me because I couldn't keep it if He got it for me. Amen. There's nothing I could do that had anything to do with salvation. Right. I am the one that caused the mess that needed for Him to come down here for. And you and I are the same boat. So Saul's looking at David and he said, I got to put all his armor on him, make him an army man. I got to make him a military man. I got to turn him into one of us. And the ironic thing of that is he's not even man enough to go out there in that armor. But he's looking at this little kid saying, yeah, I'll put that armor on him. You know what? That's what religion is. Religion looks at a hopeless situation and says, we can have hope if we can just put our own works on it. And the truth is, your works will take you straight to hell and keep you there forever. It's God's armor that David needed. The fashioning of the man didn't come from what was on the outside. There was an anvil on the inside that God was building armor for David as he was shepherding those sheep in the wilderness. There's an armor that was being beat out and formed inside David when he took on the bear, when he took on the lion, when he learned to go after that lost sheep. There was something happened on the inside that made it unnecessary for the things that Saul was trying to put on the outside. The fashioning. Look at the faithful in 41. And the Philistine came on and drew near to David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said unto David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with the sword and with the spear and with the shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, who thou hast defied. We see the faithful. He was, because of his past walk, because of his past obedience, because of his past victories, he had faith in God for the big victory, for the big battle. And there again lies the problem with saved folks in 2020. God does set things up for us. It's kind of like running a race with hurdles. If you got a 2-foot hurdle and you got a 3-foot hurdle and you got a 4-foot hurdle, that just hurts my mind to think of jumping 4 foot. The landing's what scares me, amen. But when they practice these things, they build up to where they can make that last hurdle, that high hurdle. And when you are not increasing your faith by trusting God for the little things, if you're trusting in the flesh for the little things, you're going to be in trouble when the big things get here. You jump these hurdles and He makes you stronger. He increases your timing and your safety, your ability, and you'll be able to go over the hurdles and over the hurdles and over the hurdles, and the taller they get, the higher you can jump. And it's all because of God's strength, God's mercy, God's grace, and the obedience of God's man. And David was faithful Then we see the finale here in 49 through 51. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. And David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Because of David's obedience, because of David's walk, because of David's abilities that God had grown in David, he had made David into a man that was much more of a man than appeared when you looked at Saul. Because if the world looked at Saul, they'd say, there's a man. If we go to battle, I want him on my side. But they didn't see what was going on the inside of Saul. And Saul didn't see what God had done on the inside of David. And David's victory come because of David's obedience. I want to look at about eight things real quick, I promise. I know you're hungry. Eight things real quick for us to have victory. First of all, David was surrendered to the Father. If you're not surrendered to the will of God, you cannot have the victories God wants you to have. You have to be surrendered. He was surrendered to the Father. He was servant to his brethren. You know what his father told him? He said, take this food to your brothers. Now, if you know brothers, they're not often friendly with each other. Amen? Amen? There's often some animosity and some problems between brothers. Amen? But David was submitting to the will of the Father and willing to serve his brother. You know, that's one of the most overlooked parts of Christianity, is the willingness to serve the brother. Amen. And we talked about this before, but it's worth talking about. When Jesus Christ washed the disciples' feet, Amen. He was giving an example of ministering to other believers. That was not an example of winning souls to Christ. That was an example of how we treat each other. And look, don't panic. I'm not taking my shoes off. Amen? But we need to be willing to serve the brethren. David was surrendered to the Father. He was a servant to his brethren. He was satisfied with his position. You remember what it said? He was a shepherd boy. You know what his brother said? Where'd you leave those few sheep? David didn't belong to Hiles Anderson Church with 3,000 people. David wasn't a man that was under Charles Haddon Spurgeon with 30,000 people in the audience when he preached every time. David wasn't under one of these mega churches. David had a few small sheep out there in the wilderness. You know what he was? He was satisfied with God and where God had placed him. There are a lot of people that aren't in the right place. They're not in God's will because they're not satisfied with what God has given them. Amen. You say, well, that's a reference for a pastor to a church. No, that's a reference to being satisfied with where God places you. Amen. Here we are in 2020. We're in church together. We're praising the Lord together, singing about Him, singing about the blood, praising God for the precious blood of Jesus Christ. This is where God placed you today. Amen. David was satisfied with his position. You know what he wasn't doing? He wasn't looking at the preacher going, well, I wish I had that job. Yep. Believe me, you'd give it back. Amen? But I'm telling you, I'm joking. You might want to keep it. But he wasn't looking at the other person and saying, well, I wish I could do that. I wish I could do this instead. He was satisfied with what God had called him to do. He was satisfied with, hey, you know, maybe I'll clean the restroom. Hey, maybe I'll do this. Maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll plug in somewhere. God plugs me in somewhere else. And then, oh, look at them. They're doing that. Why are they doing that? And I've got to do this. He was satisfied with what God had allowed him to be a part of. Surrender to the Father, servant to his brethren, satisfied with his position. He was surrounded by opposition. Not only were the Philistines out there opposing David, but his brother was. I know why you're down here. You know what he was doing? He was talking about his own heart. He wasn't willing to get in a battle, but he was sure looking forward to seeing it. But he goes to David, he goes, I know the naughtiness of your heart. Just because they're blood brothers don't mean they have the same heart. Amen. He said, you're just down here to see the fight. So he had opposition from the enemy. He had opposition from his own family. You ever get that? Oh, well, you guys are extremists. You're talking about praying and reading the Bible, being in church three times a week and all that stuff. That's a little extreme from people that watch CNN 24/7. That might be a little extreme, amen, or fox or any of that junk. But he was surrounded by opposition. King Saul was his opposition. He looked at David and said, you can't go against this guy. You're just a youth. And him a man wore from his youth. David had all kinds of opposition. But he was surrendered to the Father. He was a servant to his brethren. He was satisfied with his position. Amen. Even though he was surrounded by opposition, he was strong in the Lord. He was strong in the Lord. Him going into battle was not contingent upon his brethren. Him going into battle was not contingent on what Saul said. Him going into battle was not contingent on the enemy, the number of the enemy, the size of the enemy, the power of the enemy. Him going into battle was contingent upon the size of his God and the fact that God had already delivered him from a lion and delivered him from a bear. And he said, this uncircumcised Philistine, not a problem. Nothing's too big for my God. He was strong in the Lord. He was steadfast in his faith. You know what he tells Goliath? This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And then he tells Goliath what Goliath was telling him. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day to the fowls of the air and the wild beasts of the earth. So here this giant comes out here. He goes, I'll give your flesh to the fowls of the air and the beasts of the earth. David said, no, the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will give your flesh. Amen. So the enemy thought victory was sure. But David knew where his victory was coming from. Surrender to the Father, servant to his brethren, satisfied with his position, surrounded by the opposition, strong in the Lord, steadfast in his faith. 49 through 50, he takes that rock, he smote the giant. He was successful in his battle. You know why? Because he was saved by the rock. Amen. It wasn't the sword. It wasn't the spear. It wasn't man's armor. It wasn't an attaboy from Saul. It wasn't his brothers cheering him on. Matter of fact, it was quite the opposite. He was victorious because he was saved by the rock. He was victorious because he laid man's armor down and he went into battle with the armor of God. And victory is sure when you're wearing God's armor.
Amen.
And God's armor is on the inside.
Right.
You want to be victorious? Surrender to the Father. Amen. Serve one another. Amen. Be satisfied with what God's given us. Well, if we just had 80 people on Sunday morning instead of 30, how about being glad that the people are here serious about it?
Amen.
I'd rather have 30 people serious about the Lord than 110 people going different directions.
Right.
You know what God will do? He'll do more with two people that are serious than 50 people that are all disjointed and out of unity. Being satisfied with what God's given you. And even though we're surrounded by opposition, we can be strong in the Lord. How many lions and bears have you fought? Hey, God has brought me through some lions and bears. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. And these uncircumcised Philistines? Not a problem for God. Be steadfast. Be strong in the Lord. Be steadfast in your faith. And you'll be successful in battle. But if you're here today and you're lost in your sin, if you drew your last breath right now, you'd be in hell forever. But you could be saved by the rock. Our rock is Jesus Christ. The Lord said, upon this rock, he was talking about himself, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He was successful in battle because he was saved by the rock. Funny thing is, a lot of people are lost and on their way to hell, and they don't even know they're in a battle. And one day, they'll draw their last breath, and they'll realize they lost a battle that they refused to identify and do something about, and it'll be too late. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you need to be saved by the rock. And if you're here today and you're saved and you've been out of God's will, you need to get things right. 1 John 1:9, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm glad God gives us, I guess in golf they call it a mulligan, right? Is that what it is? I don't play golf, but I need a mulligan in miniature golf, amen? But it's a do-over. Now, we suffer some losses sometimes, and we may not know what they all are here on this side of heaven. But God is good to us. And just like Jonah, even though you might be going the wrong direction now, He'll let you get back in the race and go the right direction now. If you're going to win the battle, if you're going to win the battles, you must depend on the rock. Father, we love You and thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for little shepherd boy David that was willing to go out there and take care of that few sheep, Lord, those few sheep, as You built him and grew him into the man You wanted him to be. And little did David understand that You were beating out an armor inside David to protect him in the future for future battles. And little did Saul understand that David's battle wasn't on the outside, it was on the inside, and he'd already had victory because of that rock before the battle ever came to him. And Lord, that his armor was on the inside, protecting his mind and protecting his heart from the enemy. And Lord, as the army of Israel had let their mind be filled with doubt and let their mind affect their heart to where they refused to battle against the enemy, David was willing to be strong in the Lord, to trust in that rock, and to accept the victory You had for him. Help us, Lord, as we go forward, to count on the rock, the Word of God and the words of God, that we might have victory through the power of God. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Hey, look, if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's not about your works. It's not about water baptism. It's not about joining a physical local church. It's about whether or not you trusted Jesus Christ. You could join every church in this country. You could be in every baptismal service there ever was and still die and go to hell. It's about trusting Jesus Christ. Baptism is just a symbol, an outward showing of an inward change. If you've never realized you were a sinner, for all sin to come short of the glory of God, realized you were going to go to hell forever, and realized Jesus Christ died for your sins, and called on Him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You need to call on Him now. Hell is real. Hell is permanent. And the opportunity is yours today to trust in the rock, Jesus Christ.